So, if you have your Bibles, why don't you open up to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, or power up, or log on, whatever you need to do. It's the first book in the New Testament, and we're going to read from Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16, down through Matthew, chapter 4, verse 11. Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16, down through chapter 4, verse 11. Here's what the gospel narrative says. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord, your God, to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended with him. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this place. We declare right now that we are ready to not only be hearers of your word, but doers as well. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, one of the things that my family would tell about me is that I love to watch shows that come on Animal Planet. Anybody else out there? Animal Planet? Okay, all right. Some of my favorite scenes are those depicting wildlife on the wilderness plains of the Serengeti. And on the wilderness plains of the Serengeti, life can be brutal, in fact, fatal, to those animals who aren't very careful. Newborn wildebeests, zebras, giraffes, all kinds of grazing animals, listen, they have little to no time to start walking right after birth. And if they don't begin walking within a few minutes, there'll be open season on them. Lions, hyenas, cheetahs, other predators that might seek to make a meal after them. But listen, such is life on the Serengeti. It's a tough place. It's a wilderness of a place. It's a tough place for animals to live in. And what I want to suggest to us today, that just like those animals experience the harsh realities of the Serengeti wilderness of Tanzania, We also are faced with our own wildernesses right here in the Twin Cities, right here in Minneapolis, right here in Powderhorn. Right here, we have our own wilderness experiences. And while there's certainly, listen, beauty all abounding in the city can also be a tough place. It can be difficult at times. It's a place where our enemy, Satan, slithers around seeking out his next victim. Single moms left to fend for themselves after being abandoned by a man whom they thought loved them. A place where otherwise respectable politicians can become blinded by the allure of prestige instead of being motivated to compassion because of the plight of their constituents. A place where systems of injustice infiltrate educational institutions, medical facilities, housing and real estate agencies, transportation, medical or entertainment venues, police precincts, and yes, even houses of worship. The city can be a wilderness of a place, making it difficult not only to just exist, but to actually have true Zoe life, to have life to the fullest. But listen, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you're faced with today, no matter what the negative experiences that you may be encountering, I just want to tell you today to stop by the church house, share with you some good news to let you know that you can survive your wilderness experience. Okay. Amen by myself. Sure, things may be looking bad right now, and it may seem like you just can't get a break. But let me tell you something. Even though you're in a wilderness right now, God has given you a formula that will guarantee your survival. And that formula is found in the pages of Scripture. So here's the answer for you. We're going to get to the answer right away, and then we'll back into it. The answer for how you survive your wilderness experience is by living out of the mouth of God. Living out of the mouth of God. And while there are many stories in the Bible that portray a wilderness experience, I think there's perhaps no better account to examine than this account of Jesus' baptism and wilderness temptation. Now listen, in this account of the life of Jesus, there are recorded two events that serve as the springboard for the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Event number one was Jesus' baptism and affirmation at the Jordan River. That was event number one. Event number two was the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Now, one point to remember while reading this passage is that between the space of time covering the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is about a 400-year period where there are no words given by God for the direction of his people. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to hear from God on a daily basis, every single day. And yet for just about four centuries, nothing is heard from on high that we at least have recorded in Scripture. It's as if heaven has become closed for business. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you just felt like God wasn't listening to you? Amen, by myself again. I mean, you've prayed like you know how to pray. You've gotten people to begin to intercede for you. You've fasted. You've turned your account into the storehouse. You've done everything that you know to do. And yet and still, it seems like God is just not answering. Have you ever felt that way? Well, listen, I can imagine that this chosen people, this nation of Israel, were probably feeling somewhat the same way. I mean, generation after generation, I can imagine arriving on the scene, telling stories to their children and loved ones of how God created the world and how he had caused a great flood to destroy the world because of sin. and how he preserved for himself in an ark a man named Noah and his family so that he could replenish the earth after the flood. And how he made a covenant with Abraham and promised him a son, even though he and his wife Sarah were well past typical childbearing age. And how he allowed a boy named Joseph, who was his father's favorite son, to be exiled from his family, sold into slavery by his brothers, but then to be exalted to the position of governor over agriculture in a foreign land. And how he saved a young boy named Moses from certain death so that he could be the agent of deliverance for the Israelite people. And how he used a young girl named Esther to help her people escape mass execution. And how he fought for the battles of the Israel people and gave them a dwelling place in a land flowing with milk and honey. And how he raised up judges like Samson and Gideon and Deborah and kings like David, Solomon, Hezekiah to rule over the people. And how he stood in a fiery furnace with three Hebrew boys and kept them from being burned alive. And how he spoke to the children through the prophets. I mean, I can just see them telling story after story and account after account of the great history of their people. And from the time of Nehemiah and Malachi to the time that Jesus is about 30 years old, there had been 400 years of God not saying a thing. Then all of a sudden, this carpenter named Jesus comes from his hometown in Nazareth of Galilee. And he goes down to the Jordan River where his cousin is preaching a sermon of get right. That's all John's preaching was, just get right. Turn or burn. John's conducting these baptism services down by this river called Jordan. A supernaturally unique thing happened. There was a gathering of the Trinity there. God the Son was there in the form of the man we know as our Savior, Jesus. God the Holy Spirit was there in the form of a dove and lightning. And God the Father was there in the form of a voice of affirmation that hadn't spoke a single solitary word in over 400 years. And the first thing he declares is, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And this affirmation was critical for Jesus. He needed to hear these words because he was about to enter a place of intense temptation. And these are the same words that God wants us to hear today, because listen, you are either in the middle of a wilderness situation, you either just come out of a wilderness situation, or you are about to go in to a wilderness situation. So we need these words, the security of affirmation that God gave to Jesus, and we need to embrace them and keep them in our heart and mind. So now that Jesus has gotten his graduation of sorts, right? He received his affirmation from his Father. He is immediately led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Talk about a graduation gift. Congratulations, Holy Spirit, take him into the wilderness. He wasn't led by Satan into the wilderness. That would make him a follower of Satan. He was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted, to be tried by Satan. Now, before the temptation occurs, Jesus spends 40 days and nights in preparation for this battle by fasting and praying. And in that time of solitude with the Father and with the Spirit, he is given the blueprint for how to defeat Satan. And this blueprint shows us that surviving your wilderness experience is done by living out of the mouth of God. Or in other words, by using the scriptures to destroy every single temptation that Satan throws our way. So let's quickly examine both the attack of Satan and how we should respond. Verse 3 of chapter 4 says this: "The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" The first thing that Satan tries to attack was Jesus' identity and his purpose. He says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread." Now Satan knows that Jesus has just finished fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he knows that Jesus is hungry. I know, waking up this morning, I had a small bite to eat. I'm hungry right now. And so 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus spends in the wilderness. Satan knows that Jesus, our Savior, is probably physically hungry. So what does he say? What does he say to him? He says, "Look, Jesus, I know you're hungry. Come on, man, I know you're hungry. I know you got all power. So why don't you just go ahead and hook you up a sandwich? I mean, you got it. You can do it because you're the Son. Or are you?" You see, Satan tried to get Jesus to satisfy his own earthly desire, to satisfy his hunger. But Jesus knew that satisfying his hunger was not what he was called to do. He knew that his hunger, both spiritual and physical, could only be satisfied by a loving Father. And even though he had the power to change the stones to bread, he refused to take the selfish route and chose instead to depend on the provision of God. Look at his response in verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God.'" So what is Jesus showing us here? Jesus is saying, "Listen, I know why I'm here. And I know who I am. As a matter of fact, not only do I know who I am, I know whose I am." And that's the declaration we need to make when we're facing temptations in our wilderness experiences. Before God created a world, he made plans to create you. He made plans to create me. And when he created you, he attached purpose to your life. Your life has meaning. He gave you a reason to live. So don't let anybody or anything take you away from your God-ordained purpose. You shall not live on bread alone. You shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, if you stand firm and make it through the testing of your identity and the testing of your purpose, the next thing that Satan tries to do is literally take you out. Satan tries to kill you. Listen, Satan ain't joking. This is not like some mystical, fancy, like Lord of the Rings type of being. Satan is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. This is not a game with him. So Satan realizes that he can't attack identity and purpose, so he tries to get Jesus killed. Instead, he knows that he can't kill Jesus. He knows that he can't. So what does he do? He tries to get Jesus to kill himself. He wants us, like he wanted Jesus, to commit spiritual, emotional, even physical suicide. And here's the question for us. Are we killing ourselves emotionally? Are we falling victim to what Satan is trying to do to attack us, to get us to commit suicide? Are you not forgiving yourself, even though you've already confessed your sins to God and asked him to forgive you and he's cleansed you? Are you still holding on to unforgiveness in your heart for yourself? Or is there some person in your life that you're letting, or a situation that you're letting get to you, and you're allowing bitterness to corrupt your soul? Or are you worrying yourself to death over things that you have no ability to change? These are all types of emotional and spiritual suicide. Here's one for me. What about physically? Uh-oh. Are you attempting to get some type of exercise throughout the week? Something. I know, right? That's just me. Are you shutting down electronics at night and getting enough sleep to function throughout the next day? Amen. Hello. Are you attempting, like what they tell us to do, to just drink enough water throughout the day because your body needs it? Simple things that seem like, oh, it's not a big deal, but then your body starts to shut down. That's a trick of the enemy. Are you attempting to get some type of vegetable in you besides what comes on a McPick 2? That's just me. That ain't nobody in here. Nobody in here. Because I know y'all been saved since you've been saved. So I know that's just me. Or what about spiritually? Are you killing yourself spiritually? See, it's one thing to work out and to look good physically. But let me tell you something. Even though I want to work out and be healthy, I need to also work out in the realm of the spirit. In order for me to stay alive spiritually and not commit spiritual suicide, I got to forget about Gold's Gym and I got to get into God's gym. You see, you get in God's gym and you start working out in the realm of the spirit, then you'll start getting some benevolent biceps. You start getting some pecs of praise. You start getting some Christ-centered calves and some triune triceps. See, Satan is trying to get us to kill ourselves, and what he doesn't know is that you've been working out. You've been working out. You've been exercising your eyes by reading your playbook, the Bible, and you've been exercising your ears by meditating on God's words. You've been getting your cardio up by running a race of righteousness. But check this out. Look at now how all of a sudden Satan is quoting scripture. Check him out. Look at verse 6. He says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Now, how in the world can this joker quote scripture? How in the world that's going to happen? Well, I tell you, here's my guess. I don't miss this. I think he could do it because Satan went to the same school Jesus went to. Only thing was, he got kicked out. He didn't graduate. So here he is quoting scripture, and he's probably thinking, I know I can't kill Jesus, but maybe I can get Jesus to kill himself. Maybe I can use his own father's words to trick him up the same way I did with Adam and Eve. But you see, Satan's problem was that he was trying to quote some word to the word. So Jesus was like, yeah, I see you got some scripture in you. But listen, partner, there are some scriptures you don't know because you weren't smart enough to stay in class. In other words, yeah, you know some of what is written, but let me tell you something. It is also written. You see, Jesus was able to say it is also written because he stayed in class. He was able to say it is also written because he participated in the classroom discussion. He was able to say it is also written because he allowed himself to be taught. So if you're wondering why you can't overcome in certain situations or why you don't know scripture like you ought to, maybe you need to do a self-inventory and ask yourself, how much time do you spend actually reading, ingesting, and living by God's word? But listen, here's the deal. There is not a single thing that can come out of you unless it is what? Already in you. So don't think you're going to get in some tempting situation and try to call on some scripture if it's not in you. It is impossible for that to happen. God's word has to be in you in order for it to come out of you. You have to live and feast on his word. Jesus graduated the coursework. He finished all of his work. And because he completed his work, he was able to fight off the temptation to commit spiritual and physical suicide. Here we go, coming down the home stretch. Here's the last tactic that Satan uses and the last tool Jesus gives us to survive our wilderness experience. Look at verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Now check this out. Satan, now he out of scripture. He ain't got no more word. He done. So the third thing that he tries to do is he tries to cut a deal. After he's tried and failed at getting Jesus to forget about his purpose, he's tried and failed at getting him to commit suicide, he says, okay, since I can't mess with your purpose, since I can't get you to commit suicide, let me see if stuff matters to you. Satan says, let me see if we can make a deal. So what does he do? He starts making empty promises. He says, listen, all of this stuff, check it out. Look at all this stuff. Look at all this stuff. Look at all of this. See all of this stuff. Look at it. Just cast. Look at all of this stuff. He says, look at all this stuff. And he says, listen, I'll give it to you. It's yours. You can have it. The whole world, all of it. This time, listen, this dude is so desperate. He's like he forgets who he's talking to. It's like he's all of a sudden, he's so desperate now, he just like got amnesia because the Bible declares that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and those who dwell there. So here's Satan trying to offer something to Jesus that he already owns. Let me tell you something. That's exactly how he will try to get us today. He'll try to convince you and convince me that all we have to do is just take some stuff in. He tries to convince us that what we watch on TV, it really ain't that bad. Don't worry about it. Ain't that big a deal. He'll try to convince us that relationship we might be in with that person who is either a closet Christian or just completely antithetical, opposed to Christ. Yeah, that's all right. Don't worry about that. That's you all good. Y'all can work together. God will use you to love them. It's false. It's a lie. He says, listen, you do this work. You do this for me. I'll make you so popular that you'll have to start taking applications for friendships. People will be lining up to want to be Facebook official with you. I'll give you status. I'll give you stuff. All you have to do is forget about worshiping God and start worshiping me. God's up there. I'm right here. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's an empty promise because he can't give you what he does not own. Satan's so-called promises are in fact complete lies, but what God promises you, he will give to you. What he declares will happen will in fact come to pass, for God is not a man that he should lie, and no matter how many promises God has made, his promises are always yes and amen. So finally, Jesus says, look, enough is enough, all right? Jesus said to him, verse 10, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God." Don't miss that. Jesus tells Satan, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Devil couldn't take that. Bible says, then he left him and angels came and attended him. Jesus says, enough is enough. You've tried to take my purpose. You've questioned my identity. You've tried to get me to kill myself. And finally, you've tried to cut a deal with me. And listen, enough is enough. Get out of my face. As a matter of fact, get out of my wilderness experience. You have been here long enough. The wilderness of life can be tough, can be difficult, can be flat out overwhelming at times. And sometimes we can succumb to the temptation to think that God has forgotten about us, that he's abandoned us. Let me tell you something, beloved. God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about me. You see, sometimes God allows certain things to happen to us because he wants to teach us how to respond in the midst of temptation, in the midst of our wilderness. Pastor Elena used to say this to me all the time when we used to serve back in a church in St. Paul. She used to tell me this all the time, Kevin, it is not about what happens to you, it is about how you respond. God is interested in your response in the midst of the wilderness. God wants us to overcome by living on every word that comes out of his mouth. So listen, don't let the enemy fool you. God has not forgotten you. I know there are times when things might look bad, but God has not forgotten you. I know there are times when there seems to be no way out, but God has not forgotten you. God has given us this promise, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. Know that as you rest in God and as you put your trust in him, he will empower you to not just survive your wilderness, but to overcome it triumphantly. All you have to do is live on, feast on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen.